be that there are a large number of people here from San Francisco and Berkeley who have been driven out by whatever factors are going on in those cities. And so the overflow has come here. Thank you, San Francisco. Thank you, Berkeley.
Another proof of the Rotkin magnet theory.
Yeah.
That's the anti-magnet theory.
The reverse magnet theory.
Well, that shows there should be tougher stuff. I'd say beating up every third homeless people a person may result in an outflux.
We have to go a ways to be tougher than the San Francisco and Berkeley cops of late. We've heard some tremendous horror stories about homeless people have been treated by those two police departments. I would think that our city council members and the mayor should be on the phone complaining to those two cities for having forced so many of their homeless people on us. Similar to what San Jose was doing with the homeless dumping in Modesto. It's not fair for one city to push their quote-unquote problem on another city.
Thank you, Buzzy.
Good evening, I'm Senator Patrick. I don't feel a living obligation to be a gracious woman. As a man who's come before you now for over a year, watched you all catch up on your emails, take telephone calls, go outside. Not all of you. I think I want to say at the outset, I was chicken to do this before, but I don't want to, unless it's flattering, exclude Celia and Catherine from what I'm going to say tonight. Mr. Hernandez, you made an impassioned speech last month about how much you cared about the children of our barrio. You said it with your best Spanish Latino accent. In the barrio, Mr. Hernandez, you are called a coconut. Do you know what that means? Someone who's brown on the outside and white on the inside. Along with the Latino Commission and all of the Latinos that failed our neighbors, you stand in the highest disregard. Even I, as only half Mexican, know that. My neighbors have imparted that to me. Don't ever flatter yourself that you are a leader and represent them. All of you that played all your dirty tricks, I called Mr. Hernandez, Mr. Kennedy, and Mr. Rockin were voicing on the day after the election. I thanked you graciously because, quite honestly, we could not have accomplished what we accomplished without everything you did for us in the last year. You were instrumental in actually arranging your own demise, and I hope none of you will ever be able to hold an office again. You might be able to buy yourself nonprofit organizations, but I sincerely hope you will never be able to hold office again. The two other women of this group, I don't know, all I see is yes women, aging cheerleaders for the group that was in power. People are coming before you now to afford you to undo the messes you've made, and you've made them. You didn't listen to any of us, and you tried to pass us off as crazy, or special interest, or poor, or racist. You did everything you could to disenfranchise us. Well, you know what? Everyone in Santa Cruz obviously didn't believe you. We couldn't even get time to set up. Money bought everything, but it didn't buy the people. Now, if I were a little spider, I'd do a ha-ha dance for you. But I might leave that to my daughter. I will always remember this year, after years of activism, you can be active often and not win. I think that's what ruined most of you. I think that that's what happened. But I will always remember that the year I turned 52, and the year my daughter turned 13, the good guys won.
We're here with a sleep criminal. The man is obviously a real felon. What happened to you, sir?
Well, I was just sleeping in my van, trying to find a safe place to sleep, and the cops come and harassed me and gave me a $365 ticket.
And where were you sleeping?
Right over by the boardwalk, across the way.
Were you creating a lot of noise, urinating out the window, drunk and screaming?
No, sir. I was just very quiet, pulled in, climbed in the back of my van, and went to sleep.
And do you know the name of the officer who did this?
I have it on my ticket.
Okay.
Yeah.
Has this happened to you before? Is this your first ticket?
No, they pound on my van quite often.
Really?
Quite often at night. I just pull into a regular neighborhood and very quiet, don't have a TV, radio, nothing, and just go to sleep. They beat on my van late at night.
Would you describe yourself as a man who lives in his vehicle?
Yes, sir. Yeah.
And you do this out of pleasure or out of necessity?
Out of necessity.
And would you like to see the council legalize sleeping in your vehicle?
Yeah, I think they should legalize it and get the cops off our backs, man. I think it's ridiculous and uncalled for.
Did the police officer, when he gave you the ticket, say that he had a complaint?
No, not at all. He said he noticed me in the back, and he couldn't have noticed me in the back because I was behind a curtain.
Maybe he had x-ray vision. Did you ever think of that?
Well, yeah, he said he had a heat sensor. That's what he said he had.
Heat sensor. Maybe infrared missiles as well.
Yeah, that's what he said.
So, thank you very much.
You're very welcome.
That was Carol Denny, and our mic is back online. Oh boy, we need new equipment, but I guess we should be happy to have any equipment, considering the surveillance we've been under and the threat now to close us down as of December 27th. Again, the number to call, if you want to call the FCC and tell them to start doing some real monitoring, perhaps of KSCO, which is blasting all our phone lines and making it impossible for the community to operate in terms of talking to itself. I just had to turn back a call from an incoming caller because the phone lines, as those of you who have heard, who've been listening, are taken up with KSCO's megababble. Anyway, the phone number of the FCC is 510-732-1633. 510-732-1633. And tell them to please lay off Free Radio Santa Cruz and get a job. Do something with their position that really guarantees the freedom and diversity on the airwaves.
You can also call the city council at 429-3550-POUND and tell them to get off their gazoogas and pass some kind of resolution supporting and endorsing free radio here in the community. I know that there are some members of the community and of the council, I should say, who really want to do that. And the number of the council is 429-3550. Then push the pound key, throwing it into the box of every council member. While you're at it, you might call a second time and tell them at 429-3550-POUND to immediately call a special session, or at the very least, put something on the January 5th agenda about repealing the sleeping in blanket ban, since the police don't seem to be able to deal with complaints and the clear wording of the city council's resolution that says ticket only on complaint or after a warning. That doesn't seem to be something the police can do without being led by the hand, by the nose, having that little law that they've been playing with for so many years, for two decades, their toy for toying with homeless people taken away from them. And let's do it before too many people die out there in the cold. Let's do it before too many people are the victims of violent crimes. Let's do it now. 429-3550, push the pound key. Now here's a little song that I made up. I thought I would give you a little Christmas cheer as we get closer and closer to Christmas. Seemed it might be appropriate for this time. Bear with me, and hey, you can even sing along. Away on vacation, no time for the poor. The little Lord Catherine left them out of doors. Some 60 nights later, we'll talk and we'll meet. So wait and be patient, and meanwhile don't sleep. The children are freezing, the shelters are full. The tongue of Herr Rotkin is jabbering bull. The eager progressives just urge us to wait for late February, when all will be great. The police are out searching to ticket the poor. The sick and the sleepless fill the armory floor. The council is warm behind windows so clear. The pain of the homeless is so hard to hear. Come ye to the council with blanket and bag. Bring brothers and sisters to sleep neath the flag. Be ready to challenge the cold of the heart. If we sleep together, we'll make a new start. And there you have it, an alternate Christmas carol from your host, Bathrobes Pierre Robert, here on Bathrobes Pierre's Broadsides, our twice-weekly Civil Rights for the Poor show on 96.3 FM. We broadcast 11 o'clock on Sunday mornings from 11 to 1:30, and then on Thursday afternoons from 6 to 8. I encourage you to write your own Christmas carols and bring them along to the Don't Sleep Tonight night, coming up on December 28th on Monday, when we will be bringing our vehicles downtown to Pacific Avenue to the shopping community, although that will of course be after Christmas has passed, and so unfortunately we'll have missed the major shopping curve, but we are still interested in making the point and still think the point is a valid one, and perhaps one that will still be heard, because there'll be some Christmas carryover as we head into the New Year's area. That's December 28th. Bring your own Christmas carols or phone them in to 423-HUFF, 423-4833, and we can create our own little caroling sessions down there. Bring your vehicle, bring a thermos of coffee for homeless people, bring some friends, and spread the word. You can even kind of festoon your car with a bed or some sheets or blankets or some signs. It could be really a festive occasion on the 28th. And for more information, give me a call at 423-4833. That's 423-HUFF, the Homeless United for Friendship and Freedom number. And we'll learn more about that. Now, I also have written up a new flyer. I love writing flyers, as some of you know. Here's, I've got a rough draft of this flyer here. I thought I would read it to all you listeners out there. It's already got some criticism from one of my proofreaders. Too long, she writes. Thank you very much. But I'm going to read it anyway. Counsel to homeless, don't sleep till February. Byers risks lives with politics as usual. Mayor Byers blocked reform at City Council. Only pressure from advocates in the community persuaded Byers to put any homeless topics at all on the last council meeting before Christmas recess. She initially said she had to wait to meet with business associations. But she sought no input from homeless advocates working on repeal for a year, and the 500 to 1,500 homeless community, 80% of which has no shelter this winter and faces harassment, $162 citations, warrants, and winter. In spite of pleas that winter was coming, Byers refused to put the sleeping ban repeal on a November agenda, declined to order special sessions in December, and helped vote down a resolution to act before Christmas. As mayor, she alone can order special sessions to protect the homeless against winter police harassment by suspending the sleeping ban, pending the council's final review and debate on the camping ban. Byers has not ordered phone calls in favor of and against the sleeping ban repeal to be tallied, something repeatedly requested of council members to give the council a reading of public input. Such an accounting would show overwhelming support for repeal and would call into question her sabotaging of protections for the homeless at the December 8th meeting. Byers has a prearranged agenda which dictates delaying any substantive public discussion, much less action, on legalizing sleep for the poor until mid-February. Her rationale for this is to build a broad community consensus and ensure that a reform of the law will outlast the current council, to paraphrase her. This faulty analysis ignores homeless needs in winter, the election mandate, the council's duty to restore fundamental rights immediately, as well as political common sense. The compelling consequences of winter weather and the strong reality of Christmastime compassion made the December 8th meeting the best chance to act. And it also means if she chose to call a special session now, it would still be a good chance to act. Byers' cautious conservatism was not what we elected. Byers has a conservative history of realpolitik, which includes silence at Rotkin's closing of the Coral Street Open Air Shelter campground in December 1995, which ultimately resulted in numerous homeless deaths. Her campaign subcommittee spent 6 months, quote, searching for a campsite fall 95 and winter of 96, but came up with no recommendation. She refused to stand up in court to defend the civil rights of the Hopkins-Alimi City Hall Sleepers protest vigil when Rotkin escalated the stakes and secured an injunction in May of 1996. Celia Scott often stood alone in issues of conscience, but Byers voted for the youth curfew and for the river curfews, wholesale violations of civil liberties backed by Police Chief Belcher, which Scott opposed. Byers supported the notorious downtown ordinances, the sitting ban, the lying ban, the spare-changing ban, which Scott publicly fought. Byers ignored the pleas of homeless people and supported social service providers, as when she took no action to support Linda Edwards, brutalized by Karen Gillette's friends and co-workers in 1992 for circulating a petition seeking better food and less censorship at the free meal. In 1998, Byers facilitated the purging of the only outspoken advocate from the board of directors of the Citizens Committee for the Homeless, Becky Johnson, to placate Gillette and conclude the merger of CCH with the Homeless Community Resource Center, in essence, to provide more money and federal funding for the kinds of projects that didn't really involve emergency shelter, but that involved groups like Community House, which are transitional shelter. It's not that I'm against transitional shelter, but they're sort of a fancy, high-ticket item which is used to distract public attention from the realities that 80% of homeless people have no shelter at all, so that maybe 5% can get some special program and the city council can claim it's doing something, or the federal government can claim it's doing something. Byers' placating of police chief Belcher sets Santa Cruz up for a massive lawsuit. The Florida ACLU recently won $1.5 million and hands off the homeless orders for the police in the Pottinger case, and makes more likely citywide protests to move matters forward. Within 24 hours of the after the buyer's back-off on December 8th, police had given out 5 tickets without warning to people in their vans. That weekend, they drove sleepers from under the bridge without complaints. The council's failure to either repeal the bans or pass strong checks on the police means suffering as usual. Buyers' autocratic behavior stalled the progressive vision. Buyers don't sleep till February plan to discuss the camping ban several months down the road, with homeless freezing and fleeing sleeping ban tickets. Meanwhile, was a direct slap at the voters. 63% of the voters elected a sugar crone Fitzmaurice slate, whose principal organizational supporters, CAB, WILPF, SCAN, the Green Party, the Peace and Freedom Party, all favored repealing the sleeping and blanket bans. Buyer's Christmas gift to the homeless is to keep these bans in place throughout the winter and vote with Rotkin, Matthews, and Hernandez to crush Vice Mayor Keith Sugar's move to take swift action. No community voices supported Buyer's position at City Council during the hour-long public comment period on December 8th. There was unanimous support for repealing these unjust laws used to selectively harass the poor, and overwhelming support for immediate action at this meeting. Buyers not merely ignored this input, but sabotaged Sugar's repeated attempts to meet the need. A simple statement of human rights by Councilmember Crone asserting the basic human right and basic human need to sleep and cover up with blankets had the blankets section deleted by Mayor Buyers. Buyers repeatedly cut off speaker after speaker, trying to bring homeless and community input to the council at the December 8th meeting. On the Tidelands issue, she allowed 3 minutes per speaker. But on the more controversial sleeping ban question, on which she apparently had already made up her mind and had her agenda preformed, she unexpectedly cut time to 2 minutes per speaker, muzzling those who had waited literally years to speak on the question. She took the action without consulting with other council members. Buyers failed to support her new progressive allies. Councilmember Sugar's winter protection that ticketing sleepers was to be done only if there was a health and safety concern was voted down with the help of Mayor Buyers. Buyers then crushed his courageous attempts to get emergency legislation in special sessions. As an experienced parliamentarian with 9 years on the council, gonna have to hold that phone call because, caller, we can't put you on the air. What we get instead is we get KSCO. But what we will do, however, is play a little music and see what that caller is up to. I think the caller is still with us. Stay with us, caller. And we'll continue reading my latest broadside against Catherine Buyers. That was rough-tongued Roxanne Akistapache calling in. Thank you, Roxanne. I We can't use the phone lines because KSCO has decided it's taking over all the phone lines of all those who have are not paying hundreds of thousands of dollars to have huge broadcasting equipment. So we are stuck with me reading my own sacred words here. But luckily, the next talk show host has made it in 10 minutes early, but she's got some backup. Looks like some kid power is going to be coming your way over the next hour. Or child power, if you will, since we don't have any goats in the studio. Continuing with this flyer that I wrote, which is called Counsel to Homeless, Don't Sleep Till February, Buyers Risks Lives with Politics as Usual. I'll give you a little more of the flyer before I pass along the way. In key votes, buyers sided with Rotkin to block any discussion of even a limited repeal of the sleeping in blanket bans on January 12th, either as urgency legislation or as a regular bill with two readings. Yet, she voted to forward urgency legislation for the Silver Spur card room on the December 8th agenda. Is the health of one business more important than the health of 1,000 homeless people? Because we don't have the votes has been Byers' substantive position for a decade on the council. It's been her excuse for not passing anything. On December 8th, Byers clearly had the votes, but not the will. Councilmember Sugar's clear message to the Santa Cruz Police Department that ticketing sleepers was to be done only if there was a health and safety concern was voted down with the help of Mayor Byers. Sugar was left dangling in the cold to be later pilloried by that baron of bigotry, Lee Kornstrom of the San Jose Mercury News, and reactionary Sentinel writers. Byers abandoned a freshman council slate that should have gotten the benefit of her guidance in dealing with the parliamentary wiles of renegade councilmember Mike Rotkin and old guard city attorney John Barrasoni. Crone, Fitzmaurice, and Sugar needed her help to act in good conscience, follow the will of the community, and restore human rights to the homeless, sleeping and covering up with blankets. They could have done this with a limited legal change involving a sunset clause if necessary, had Byers helped. But she chose not to. As an experienced parliamentarian with 9 years on the council, she inexplicably failed to tell Sugar that regular readings of his health and safety stopgap measure would only require 4-3 votes, and so could be passed with 2 special sessions, protecting the homeless through the winter. Instead, Sugar was drawn into the morass of trying to introduce an emergency urgency measure that requires 5 votes, told he would never get a 5th vote from either Hernandez, Rotkin, or Matthews, so it was all useless. It wasn't useless. The vote he needed was the 4th vote from Catherine Byers. That was the vote she failed to give. We all bear blame with Byers for winter deaths. In San Francisco, homeless deaths are up 50% from a year ago, from 100 up to 157 now, according to a San Francisco Chronicle of 3 or 4 days ago. Byers knows that without expanded shelter and or the right of homeless people to protect and shelter themselves, the Santa Cruz homeless will face similar mortality statistics. 9 winters in office, she cannot plead ignorance. Incoming council members relying on Byers with her greater experience and left of Rotkin reputation deferred both to her experience and her seniority in dealing with these issues. Her shame is greater for using that position of leadership to silence these independent voices when the need was greatest, as the cold and the wet set in December. Byers said not one word about expanded shelter, though 80% of the 500 to 1,500 Santa Cruz homeless are outside this winter and have repeatedly requested campgrounds, car parks, public buildings be opened, and criminal penalties for camping safely be lifted. She explicitly refused activists' attempts to expand her 6 points to include at least a discussion of these needs. Byers ignored the official shelter emergency figures from the City Council's own November 10th mission statement, as well as the ongoing 1990 and 1995 winter shelter emergencies declared by the cities. Byers ignored several disabled people, a man with AIDS, women with children, a working man whose vehicle had been towed, as well as experts Paul Brindell from the Shelter Project and Sandy Brown from the Community Action Board, rushing, censoring, and ignoring public testimony in order to get through a show of process without any democratic substance. Does this sound familiar? Does this sound like the old rather than the new council? I would say so. Byers met with no homeless advocates or groups before the one and only council meeting in December, but she did apparently clear her agenda items with the chief of police and various downtown business groups. After the council meeting, she held closed meetings with self-selected Elm Street and Pelton Street anti-reform residents, but delayed any public meetings until January 3rd. Byers' whole process belittled the homeless issue, suggesting it didn't need to be considered until February, required no safeguards in winter, was only put on the agenda at the last minute in token form, didn't require the urgency status of other issues also on the agenda, and needed no real response. She needed to give no real response to the overwhelming public input. Any other issue which got unanimous endorsement, the kind of unanimous endorsement that the sleeping and blanket ban repeals got at that December 8th meeting, would have prompted immediate action from a city council, particularly a progressive city council, committed to responding to public input and to human rights concerns. There is no excuse for her behavior. Byers' old guard politics missed the best way to put the sleeping and blanket bans behind us so we can turn to the thornier issues of increasing shelter and the camping ban in a time of declared emergency winter shelter crisis. Byers' politically motivated delays will haunt the whole council at the end of its term when they, like the disgraced and discredited Scott Kennedy, will have to look back and explain why they failed to act when they could have to save the lives of homeless people who will die this winter. Join Don't Sleep Tonight Night downtown on Monday, December 28th. Support the Park and Sleep Coffee in Your Car protests on Pacific. Support human rights for the poor in Iraq and in Santa Cruz. Demand City Council ban the bans on January 5th or the 5th or the 12th agenda. Those should be on those one of those two agendas. Call the City Council at 429-3550, press the pound key, again to tell them, put these bans on the agenda and vote them through. Then you can talk your talk about the camping ban. Volunteer to save the souls, the soul, and the souls, the soul of Santa Cruz and the souls in Santa Cruz, by giving Huff a call, Homeless United for Friendship and Freedom, at 423-4833. That's my flyer. It's a little long, but hey, I like it. What do you think? Give me a call at 423-HUFF. This show is over, and we're going to be making way for the little red hen to come clucking in. She's a little ill today, so do bear with her, and remember the phone lines are not what they could be. But definitely you can reach us at the studio at 427-3772. You can reach Free Radio Santa Cruz to show your support at 427-4523. You can call the FCC at 510-732-1633 if you want to tell them to stop the harassment. And please join me again at Bathrobe Spears Broadsides at 6 o'clock on Thursday night on 96.3. I'll be coming back to you. That may be our last show, assuming we're still on the air, unless we can get the FCC to back off. Thank you for staying with us, and have a good day.
Maybe the people have changed. This town's concerned about hunger. If it's an ocean away, people don't mean to be
if we just make it illegal to be disabled or poor. Maybe we finally won't have to think about them anymore. This town gets ready for Christmas by sweeping the streets.
This is the Little Black Rooster covering for the Little Red Hen. And the hen is about to come clucking your way along with the baby chick, who is also in the studio. So check it out. It is a cool show, and you're going to love it on Free Radio Santa Cruz at 96.3. One of our few children's shows. Most of our shows are actually infant shows. This is a more mature children's show. Take it away, Little Red Hen.
Crazy, he was mad. Together they danced. He believed her to be the Queen of Sheba. She was convinced that he was a prince, and they were dancing together in the wind and the weather. She was crazy, he was stark, staring mad. Look here, said the man in the grey flannel skin, and planted on his bald head, keep off the grass. It's absolutely clear that you can't dance here, cause you haven't got a license, your credentials won't pass. And according to subsection A in paragraph Z, you've defaulted on your payments for the upkeep of the dead. She was crazy, he was mad. Together they danced. He believed her to be the Queen of Sheba. She was convinced that he was a prince, and they were dancing together in the wind and the weather. She was crazy, he was stark, staring mad. Look here, said the fellow with the two glass eyes, and plastered on his wall face, vote for me. It's absolutely clear that you can't dance here, cause you're clogging up the drains of our democracy. The machine is geared for action, the direction straight ahead, and you ought to be at work producing copies for the dead. She was crazy, he was mad. Together they danced. He believed her to be the Queen of Sheba. She was convinced that he was a prince, and they were dancing together in the wind and the weather. She was crazy, he was stark, staring mad. Look here, said the chappie with a double-barrel chin, grinning like a crater through his barbed wire teeth. It's absolutely clear that you can't dance here, cause we're holding mock manoeuvres on this part of the heath. Now a march in strict formation would be jolly well bred, instead of dancing on the coffins of our patriotic dead. She was crazy, he was mad, together they danced. He believed her to be the Queen of Sheba. She was convinced that he was a prince, and they were dancing together in the wind and the weather. She was crazy, he was stark, staring mad.
And they turned on the searchlights and they switched off the sun. And they built white walls round the dancing pair. Now from everywhere, people come and stare at the man and the woman who are dancing there. And the profits from the peep show, the authorities said, would be spent on reproducing plastic Popeyes for the dead. She was crazy, he was mad. Together they danced. He believed her to be the Queen of Sheba. She was convinced that he was a prince, and they were dancing together in the wind and the weather. She was crazy, he was stark staring mad.
You're listening to Free Radio Santa Cruz 96.3 FM. And you're listening to Little Red Hand Hour with your host Emma. And so we're going to read a few stories, two stories today as soon as we listen to one more song. So hold on one second, and I'm a little disorganized today. Okay. Sorry for the dead air, folks. Like I said, I'm really disorganized.
Multinational corporations dancing on the ruins of multinational corporations. Ha, 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 ha. Say goodbye to plastic and goodbye to cars. No more convenience stores. Hello to stars. No more Wall Street and no more Pentagon. Thinking about these things makes me happy. Corporations dancing on the ruins of multinational corporations. Ha, 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 ha. Goodbye to polystyrene. We'll bend to the waist. There is no time for debating. We have to make haste. If we're going to survive without computer program lines, we're going to have to can pop culture. Multinational corporations. skyscrapers cut down. Yes, we are coming for your children. Oh, we're dancing on the ruins of multinational corporations. Dancing on the ruins of multinational corporations. Dancing on the ruins of multinational corporations. Ha, ha.
There was a girl named Gwenna. This is her tale, as true as I know, true as I heard in the wind. If ever you have been to that land, you may know of Gwenna, for the people there remember her songs. They love to tell of the time she came to them. They show you a feather she left behind, or they'll show you a place where they saw her in the forest or in the sky. They say you need only to ask the owls, and they will send for her. But let me go to the very beginning of Gwenna's tale. It begins before she was born. Long ago, in a land of hills and valleys, there was a man and his wife. They lived on a hillside with the